Thanks so much for joining us for this edition of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. Since 1937, this program's purpose has been to send forth the light of the gospel. I trust the program will be a blessing, and you will enjoy this broadcast of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. Good morning. That song that you just listened to is off of my album titled Favorites. And as always, if you hear music that you enjoy, if it's a song that I've recorded, I'll be glad to send you a copy of the CD as a gift from the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. You can write to me, the Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201, and just request the album Favorites. I'll send it out CD format. Don't forget to pray for me as I am finishing up Indian Springs Holiness Camp meeting this third weekend of the month of July, and then we'll travel to Irma Camp at Cape May, New Jersey tomorrow on Monday, if you're listening on Sunday, on Monday the 21st, and we'll be there speaking until the 27th, and then I'm going to have some time off before going to Mattoon, Illinois to the Family Worship Center on August the 3rd. And then August 10 through 17, I will be at Oakland City Holiness Camp Meeting in Oakland City, Indiana. So please pray for me as I travel and preach at these various locations. Heavenly Father, what a joy it is to be able to pray for our listening audience. I thank you for those who listen in, those who believe in this program and have believed in it across the years. I thank you for those who take the time to send us a gift so we can stay on their radio station. I pray that you would continue to supply the need. You've been doing that now for over 87 years. And I'm so grateful as we get into our 88th year of broadcasting the lights of spiritual guidance. Thank you, Father, for the people who have been brought into the kingdom of God because of the gospel shared on this radio program. Thank you for the vision that my dad had back though so many, many years ago to begin broadcasting the gospel via the radio. I pray that you would be with the churches as they gather this weekend. Be with those who are sick and shut in and cannot get out and go to church, that depend upon the radio program as their church at home. And I pray that you would bless them and touch them today. Thank you so much for your love in our lives. I pray and ask all of this in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. As I noted, we do need your help to stay on this radio station. So if you just take a few minutes to write us a letter, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201, or go to our website, lomanministries.org, and give through Venmo or PayPal. It would mean so much. I believe the Lord would bless you, and I certainly would appreciate it. May God bless you as you listen to my dad preach one of his great sermons.
Tempted and tried, we're all made to wonder why it should be thus all the day long. And while there are
And in the 61st chapter of the book of Psalms, I want to read our scripture lesson. There are 8 verses in this chapter, and it reads like this. Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings, Selah. For thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. Thou wilt prolong the king's life and his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. O, prepare mercy and truth which may preserve him. So will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. These 8 verses in the 61st chapter of the book of Psalms. And I want to direct your attention to the last statement in verse 2 and the last statement in verse 5. And I want to bring those two phrases together and make the text to read like this. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I, that I may have the heritage thou hast given those that fear thy name. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I, that I may have the heritage thou hast given those that fear thy name. This is one of the many prayers that David prayed during his earthly existence. There's a lot of difference in this prayer than the one he prayed 10 chapters previously in Psalms 51. For in the 51st Psalm, he is asking for forgiveness. He is confessing his sin. He had reminisced a while and remembered the loathsome state of sin that he had stooped to in former days. Those of you that study the word will remember that there was a time in David's life that he was identified as a man after God's own heart. And he walked with the Lord during those days as a shepherd boy on the hillside. He was aware of God's presence in his life as he went into the camp of the Israelite army, and Goliath was challenging the people of God and defying them to send someone out to meet him. David said, I'm not afraid to go. And they ushered him into King Saul's tent, and Saul put his armor on him. He said, it's too heavy. He said, how will you go? He said, I'll go in the name of the Lord God of Israel. And walked out of that tent and took his slingshot and 5 smooth stones and walked down across the hillside and put a stone in that sling. And the Lord saw to it that it found a spot in the forehead of that great giant. And he fell to the ground a dead man. David went forth and took his sword and cut off his head, and the Philistines took to flight. The Israelite armies came home, and the king heard a song that was not something that was conducive to good listening, for he heard them sing, Saul has slain his thousands, but David his tens of thousands. And Saul knew that it wouldn't be long till David would ascend to the throne unless something happened to him. And he sought to get him out of the way. But God had his hand on David and sought to it that he was protected. There was nothing wrong in the fact that he soon became the king. Nothing wrong in a promotion, if you keep first things first and keep your priorities straightened out. But David one day, and he was not immune to temptation, but one day when he saw Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah the Hittite, taking a sun bath, he reached in the seed bag and sowed the seed of covetousness and coveted her for himself. Wasn't long until that sin led to the sin of adultery, and that sin led to the sin of drunkenness, and that sin the sin of murder. And before it was over, David was in the throes of despair and stooped about as low as any person could stoop in the realm of sin, and had Uriah, the wife of or the husband of Bathsheba, sent back to Joab's army, placed at the front line of the battle, and left there until he was put to death. And those of you that studied the word will remember how that David reaped everything that he sowed right in his own family. And David reminisces. He remembers this deep-dyed state of sin that he stooped to. He remembers the loathsome condition of his heart. And in Psalms 51, he says, "Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. Blot out my transgressions, cleanse me from mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." But in this 61st Psalm, he is not asking for forgiveness. He is not confessing his sin. He is not crying out in a state of despair. But what is he praying for? What is he petitioning the Lord for in this prayer? He wants to find himself on such a solid foundation, and he wants to solidify his relationship with the Lord until he cries out in this passage, "Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I, that I might have the heritage thou hast given those that fear thy name." Now, beloved, there's some tremendous truths in that simple petition. Notice, first of all, that he says, "Lead me to the rock." If I were to walk outside this tabernacle and pick up a small stone, it's identified as a rock or a pebble, a stone, and that's not the kind of rock that he was talking about. He wasn't speaking about a rock that he could pick up and with a little exerted strength cast it a good distance away. But when I think about a rock in the literal realm, I like to think about the rock of Gibraltar that stands yonder in the Mediterranean, lifts its towering stony peaks toward the heavenlies. Winds blow, storms rage, waves beat against its rocky crest, and tornadoes and earthquakes and cyclones come and hurricanes come. And Mr. Hitler even made the boast in World War II that his German Air Force would blast the Rock of Gibraltar out of existence. But the war's over, Mr. Hitler's dead, the skin worms destroy his body somewhere in the silent city of the dead, but the Rock of Gibraltar is still standing in the Mediterranean, lifting its towering peaks toward the skies. And that's a rock that you can think about in the literal realm. I see a commercial every once in a while that says what you need to do is get a piece of the rock. Of course, they're talking about a nationally known insurance company in this nation of ours. But I'm so glad that those of us that have been to Calvary, that have been redeemed, that's been washed in the precious blood, we not only have a piece of the rock, but we're settled upon the rock. When I think of the Rock of Ages, and the kind of rock in a spiritual realm, I like to think of the Rock of Ages. And I love to sing, "Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the waters in thy blood. From thy wounded side which flow, be of sin the double cure. Save from wrath and make me pure. I've quoted it so many times. Beloved, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. His oath, his covenant, and his blood, they support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, best in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. And David says, lead me to the rock that's higher than I, that I may have the heritage thou hast given those that fear thy name. Colored preacher preaching some years ago, and one morning after he had had a busy day on the Lord's day, he was making his rounds, and he came upon one of the parishioners of his church that the only money she ever made was washing clothes for someone else. And he said, I stood there and I observed her, and she was scrubbing clothes over an old-fashioned washboard. And he said the soap suds had piled high, and she was singing that song I just quoted a part of, Rock of Ages, Cleft for Me. And he said she sang that old song all the way through. And when she got through, I said, Auntie, you seem to be on the rock this morning. And he said she threw up both hands and soap suds flew everywhere. And she said, glory to God, Parson, I've been on the rock so long that I feel like I'm almost marred up in it. Well, I'm glad, beloved, that you can get on the rock, and the longer you stand there, you can know that winds can blow and storms can rage and hell can boil over and the hounds of hell can be on your track, and you can sway with the swaying of the times, but you can still find yourself rooted and grounded and settled in the things of God, to the point, beloved, that regardless of what comes your way, on a solid foundation, you can testify that none of these things move me. But he says, lead me to the rock that's higher than I. And that implies spiritual elevation, spiritual ascendancy. There are a lot of people in the church these days that they want a religion and they want something that will suffice, but they don't want to bring themselves to the point where they're willing, beloved, to let God take complete control of their life and take them beyond the realm of the natural. A lot of folks, beloved, like to be saved and sanctified if they could just stay down on the same plane they've been living on all the time. But that's not so. You can't do that. In fact, beloved, if you ever taste heavenly manna, you'll never want any part of cucumbers and garlic anymore that come out of Egypt. And there's a lot of folks, beloved, that's just satisfied with a status quo. But I want something that lifts me once in a while, and something that elevates me now and then, and something that helps me to rise with the tide and enjoy the blessings of the overflow. And my friends, this morning, I believe that there's a higher plane of living than that of the natural man. The natural man doesn't understand the things of God, neither doth he know them. I was preaching some years ago, and I may have referred to this, but I was in a camp meeting in southern Illinois, and it's primarily a Methodist camp meeting, and I was preaching away and having one of my flighty spells, and I soared up about the third heaven, and a Methodist preacher's wife way back there, she stood straight up and said, glory to God. And over here another Methodist preacher's wife said, hallelujah. And that thing caught fire, and the singer grabbed his trombone and stepped off the platform and started down the side aisle playing When the Saints Go Marching In. And that crowd of Methodists got blessed and got to shouting, and they took the meeting away from me. If you don't think it's hard to preach over that, I hope you never have to try, because I just had to stay back and let them have the meeting. And finally, when the thing began to subside, a little woman sitting down front, she walked up to me and she said, Brother Loman, I can't see through this. I said, see through what? She said, all this emotion, all this demonstration. And I guess I was a little mean, but I said, little lady, it's amazing how much more you can see from the inside looking out than you can from the outside looking in. What y'all do, get on the inside this thing, then you won't won't have any trouble seeing clearly. You won't have any trouble, beloved, rising with the tide and knowing what it is that causes some people to say hallelujah and others to say praise the Lord, and some folks to wave their hand in the air and give expression to what they feel on the inside of their soul. Well, bless your heart, people that are on their way to heaven, they see things the world knows nothing about. The Lord reveals to them spiritual insights that the average person can't comprehend. Paul said, we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And I believe that he does show us some things. I believe he gives us a little insight of what he's preparing for us. And ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you, when I get to thinking about it, and when I get to eating honey out of the rock and drinking from a fountain that never runs dry, and grazing in a green clover field, and basking in the sunlight of his love, and beloved, begin to pluck Esco grapes out of the master's vineyard, and my soul is fat in the things of God, I want to tell you, I can't keep myself quiet. I just got to give vent to what I feel on the inside of my soul, because I know I belong to him, and he's redeemed me, and he's settled me in the things of the Lord, and I anticipate the day when I'm going to be transferred from this world into his glorious presence. And you can know what it is to have a higher plane of living while you live down here.
Thanks so much for listening to this broadcast of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. I hope you'll take a few moments to write us a letter and let us know that you listened to the program. And if you can, send a gift so we can stay on your radio station. You can write to me, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. Or you can go to our website, lomanministries.org, and give through the Venmo or the PayPal tab. If you're looking for a church home, I know you would be welcome in any of the following churches: in the state of Illinois, Faith Chapel, Carrier Mills; in the state of Kentucky, the churches of the Kentucky Mountain Holiness Association in Eastern Kentucky; in the state of North Carolina, Charity Baptist Church in High Point; Friendship Baptist Church in Willow Springs; Mount Gilead Methodist Church in Trinity; and Trinity Church in Salisbury. In the state of Ohio, Trinity United Brethren Church in Fostoria. And here in Columbus, Indiana, where this program is produced, Bethel Wesleyan Church, Columbus Free Methodist Church, and Flintwood Wesleyan Church. Till the same time next week, don't forget, my friend, I'm still praying for you.